the minority leader in the New York State Senate, Senator Rob Ort. Senator, good morning. Thanks for joining us on Hardline.
Yeah, Joe, great to be with you this morning.
We started the show talking with Assemblymember Pat Burke about the Big Beautiful Bill, and he listed off some reasons that he thinks it is bad for New York State. He brought up the Medicaid drop and also the drop in SNAP benefits. Anything you want to push back on Democrats' response to the Big Beautiful Bill locally?
Yeah, so first of all, we heard the other day from the governor's, from her budget director, that it's a $750 million hit to New York State. Now, keep in mind, New York State's budget is $250 billion, thanks to significant increases in spending by Democrats like Pat Burke in the Assembly, in the Senate, obviously the governor. Since Governor Hochul's been the governor, and since you've had supermajorities in the legislature, that the New York State spending on Medicaid has gone up 62%. We've spent over a billion on illegal immigrants, on their health care, on their housing. So like the idea that somehow this represents some catastrophic, there's no reason for a special session. There's no reason for some massive tax increase. New York State's budget in these areas have been out of control for years. We have been spending money. We have one of the most unsustainable programs in the country. That's why you're seeing Democrats, you know, lose their mind, because we have an unsustainable program. And almost every prognosticator for years has said this is unsustainable. And yet now we're going to try to blame the president. Keep in mind, this bill is extending the Trump tax cuts. If you didn't get this bill, you'd be looking at one of the steepest tax cuts in recent American history, in modern American history, steepest tax increases in modern American history, if they didn't get the big, beautiful bill. This is going to make sure that people who need these programs, the actual reason the program exists, they're going to get it. And people who can work and people who are not U.S. citizens are not going to get it. And I'm sorry if that bothers some people, but that is how it is supposed to work. If you're not a U.S. citizen, you shouldn't be eligible for programs like this at the expense of U.S. taxpayers. And if you are able to work, if you're an able-bodied individual, then you should work and you should not be, you know, living and existing solely at off the dole of the U.S. taxpayer. So, again, I really think that the Democrats fear-mongering on this. I get it. They need something. They're desperate. They, you know, Trump has had a great several weeks of his presidency. He got the big, beautiful bill. He got a lot of the things he campaigned on in this bill. And obviously, Democrats need to attack it. And they're going to focus on blue states like New York. But the reality is, this is a good bill for Americans, for citizens. It's a good bill if you're against fraud, waste, and abuse. And I wouldn't expect anything less from Pat Burke, but I think most New Yorkers are going to find out that this bill has been a net positive for America.
You mentioned the Democrats wanting a special session. Is New York State going to look at ways to continue to provide those services through a state system to illegal immigrants and to able-bodied people who don't work?
I would not doubt it. Whether that's ultimately convened, special sessions can be challenging, you know, to sort of convene. Usually it's when the governor calls us back, you know, that. So if the governor decides to call us back to look at that, I'm certain those discussions will be ongoing. I'm certain that some of the more left extreme voices in the Senate and the Assembly out of this city and other parts of the state, they'll push for it. People like Zohran Mamdani, you know, people of that ilk will certainly push for it. Raise taxes, continue, you know, providing support for those who are in the country illegally, and then obviously, you know, people who are able-bodied to work. So they'll try to respond, I suspect, politically. But there's no reason we need to do a special session. The idea that somehow the budget is now out of whack. I'm pretty sure the Senate Democrats and Assembly Democrats gave the governor the ability to actually make adjustments through the year if there is, you know, budget shortfalls or whatever. But keep in mind, we just passed a budget 4 weeks or 40 days late. back in May, at no time in that budget, and the comptroller, a Democrat, said the same thing, there were no safety nets that the Democrats put in the budget to offset, you know, any sort of federal reductions in revenue or whatever it was. So they weren't concerned about this when they were doing the budget, because if they were, the budget would reflect that. The budget does not reflect that. And yet they were, the whole time, they were sort of leading up to this criticism, because it was always going to be, whatever the bill was, they're going to criticize it. That's politics, I suppose. They have to do that. Again, this bill has far more positive. Any bill of this scope, there's going to be things in there that may, you know, somebody can criticize. That's just how it goes. But this bill has far more net positives for America and for New Yorkers. And it's pledges that President Trump campaigned on, and he's delivering on, and the Congress delivered on it. And so, you know, again, I don't expect anything less from Democrats in the state legislature, but there could be a special session. I'm certain those conversations will go on, and we'll see. If it happens, it'll be, I suspect, in the fall, if it happens at all.
Speaking of criticisms of the president's campaign promise, you know, he promised to make sure illegal immigrants are deported. ICE is doing that. I mean, just locally, 2 days ago, we saw a 39-year-old illegal from El Salvador arrested. He's a child predator. He was arrested on indecent assault on a minor. But in the same time, Sean Ryan, a state senator now looking to be the mayor of Buffalo, you know, he's calling for, you know, ICE to get out of neighborhoods, ICE not to do their job. And as you posted on X in the New York Times, calling for ICE to show their faces. What are your thoughts on the Democrats? And I mean, it seems like a daily verbal attack on ICE.
Yeah, look, I think that they are. A lot of this is, no doubt, kind of nationally coordinated. These are talking points that get pushed out, I think, through, you know, different Democrat channels as to where to start moving our criticism. There's no question that they're really ramping up the criticism on ICE specifically, right? So rather than criticize President Trump, who they might think is on this, I mean, look at the data on this issue. President Trump is overwhelmingly with the majority of American people. This is one of the probably key issues as to, you know, his reelection in 2024 was the open border, was the lack of a coherent immigration strategy, and was the idea of deporting people who were in this country illegally, particularly people who've committed crimes in other countries, in their home countries, and are now living here, subsisting off U.S. taxpayers. And so that majority of Americans, and I would argue the majority of New Yorkers, support the idea of deporting people who are not here illegally, specifically gang members. I just saw there was a major ICE raid, I forget where it was in the country, that nabbed a major, major gang leader that was wanted, you know, by federal authorities. So this, he's on the right side of the issue. They're going to go after ICE because ICE is a faceless, quote unquote, agency. They're going to go after the idea that they're, I guess, wearing masks and they don't have to show their faces, which is ridiculous. You know, these are law enforcement officials. The reason they want to show their faces, they want to dox them. They're trying to create to make their job harder. We've seen this from Democrats here in New York before, where they wanted to make the job of law enforcement more difficult. They want to make the job of law enforcement more dangerous, which really just makes everyone more dangerous. And we've seen this. We've seen this in New York City. We've seen this in Rochester. We've seen this across the country. Americans, New Yorkers in major cities are less safe in a lot of ways because we've made the job of law enforcement more difficult. And that's the part that Democrats always seem to miss, is that law enforcement is protecting all of us. And if you make their job harder, you're making everybody less safe. So this is, to me, a continuation of their anti-law enforcement approach. And so I'm not, again, not surprised to see it. There was a big fight in New York this year about masks and reinstituting, you know, banning masks in public places. One of the big hangups, I think, was this kind of issue that Democrats, you know, they didn't like the idea that law enforcement could wear masks, but the bad guys can't. So, you know, because they don't see law enforcement as the good guys, and they are far more empathetic very often with people who they would say are marginalized, and you and I would probably say are just, you know, people who are violating the law, breaking the law. And so so really this is a continuation of a lot of that narrative, and now it's no longer on strictly police, it's more focused on ICE.
And you see that. You see that message with, I mean, look at the front runners in the mayoral races in New York City and Buffalo, the two biggest cities in the state. Both pretty, you know, pretty much talk about reforming the police and kind of along the lines of what you just said.
Yeah, right. This is a standard talking point, I think, for certainly on the far left. Although I think, sadly, I think this is growing in Democratic primary type places. So Sean Ryan, I know that there's a Republican candidate for mayor in Buffalo, but I would be willing to bet that most Democrats feel that Sean Ryan he's better off placating the far left if he wants to win the general election than sort of packing more to the center. And I think what's interesting is Eric Adams, when he won the mayoral race in New York City back in 2021, he sort of tacked more to the middle on public safety, and that was credited for his victory. Now you see Zohran Mamdani, who's obviously radical in a lot of ways, but he is maybe the most radical when it comes to law enforcement, obviously his anti-Israel stances, but certainly on law enforcement, he is a dismantle and defund and reform the NYPD, doesn't want to send cops to domestic violence situations. I mean, these are radical ideas that pose huge threats to public safety, huge threats to public safety. And again, when it comes to ICE, ICE is the, you know, obviously the central law enforcement when it comes to enforcing our immigration policy and deporting people who shouldn't be here. There's no other way that you would be able, you know, you could have whatever policy you want on immigration on the border if you don't have a law enforcement agency internally. Our local law enforcement very often doesn't have the resources to do all of this. They work with ICE. We've seen Democrats try to handicap those efforts with things like the green light law and things like, you know, making it a felony for a local law enforcement officer to cooperate with ICE or to inquire about the immigration status of somebody that they might pull over in a vehicle. So they've done everything they can to limit the ability of local law enforcement to work with ICE, and now they're going after ICE specifically. So it's disappointing, it's frustrating, but I really think they're on the wrong side. They might be on the right side of Democratic primary voters, but they're on the wrong side of most Americans and most New Yorkers.
Senator, you're calling on Kathy Hochul to declare an energy state of emergency. What got you to this point?
Well, I think it was a lot of things. You look at the rates that people are paying. You look at, and this is across the state, energy rates have spiked, and in some parts of the state have spiked significantly. If you talk to anyone, whether it's National Grid, National Fuel, anyone that is tied into the grid, they will tell you the grid is really at sort of its max capacity. And we have to make significant investments to make sure we still have reliable energy here in New York. And then I think you look at, you know, the CLCPA and what it's doing, and even the governor's recent announcement about she wants to, you know, move to a nuclear energy as part of the New York's energy portfolio, which I actually think is a good idea. It's one of the first major policy initiatives, certainly around energy, that the governor's come out with that I've agreed with. But it highlights the fact that we can't go forward in this state on wind and solar alone. You're just not going to have a viable, robust economy. You're not going to be able to have the microns of the world come here. They can't power their facility solely off wind turbines and solar. And this is a recognition that it's either nuclear or it's fossil fuels. You know, take your pick. But you're going to have, I mean, in the short term, there's probably some fossil fuel anyways, whether it's natural gas, coal, whatever, but you're going to have nuclear. You can't, the technology, the energy is not there to completely get off of, you know, fossil fuels and just replace that with solar and wind. It's not realistic. It's not cost effective. It's not reliable. And certainly in a state like New York, it can't work. And so the governor's sort of press conference, I think, to me is a great point to say we have an energy crisis. She knows it. She's not saying that. She's portraying it as this positive thing, and it's consistent with her energy goals. But I would say it's a clear indication that she knows the state can't get provide reliable power to people and meet the CLCPA goals. So we need to have a complete pause on these ridiculous, unrealistic goals that are going to only cause prices to go up, to cause, you know, brownouts and blackouts. You're going to be paying more for less reliable energy. And that's bad when you think about Western New York, the North Country. But it's also bad economically. Companies are not going to move here and relocate here and put jobs here if they don't have access to low cost or reasonably cost reliable power. And so I was just at a briefing on this exact topic. Labor was there. Elected officials were there. Mark Poloncarz was there for at least a hot minute. Pat Burke was there, as well as some others from sort of around Western New York, to hear this exact conversation that we have to be realistic. And if we want to have a robust economy and a reliable energy, we can't just pursue these CLCPA goals. I think the governor's nuclear press conference is an acknowledgement of that. And I think it's time for her to declare sort of we have an energy crisis because of partly laws we put into place, and we have to shift course and be more realistic and more practical about our efforts going forward. Nuclear is obviously a huge part of that, so I support that. But I think there's a recognition that we're not going to get to where we need to be with the CLCPA and far left green sort of new scam kind of ideas.
6 days ago, the local paper published a cartoon by Adam Zyglis about the Texas floods. 6 days later, it's still on their website, still on the front page of their opinion section. Your thoughts on the cartoon and the local paper doubling down on posting it?
You know, I want to choose my words carefully. It really just pisses me off. And I'm not surprised that Adam Zyglis would do the cartoon. You can read a lot of his cartoons. There's a clear antipathy and a disdain towards people who vote for President Trump, people who support who have support for President Trump, almost as if they're too dumb to know what's really good for them. I've seen many cartoons like that, many cartoons from him. It's very clear he does not like President Trump. It's very clear that it goes beyond just a political cartoonist. There's a huge political slant to his cartoons. And you expect that from the Buffalo News. I expect that from the Buffalo News because I know the editorial board over there. And I've seen it for years moving a leftward. But this is not about, I guess, if you want to make this about protecting the First Amendment and the rights of journalists, that's not what this is about. He used hundreds of dead people in Texas, including many children who can't vote, and somehow inferred that it was their support of President Trump that led or was a part of why kids drowned at a summer camp, why people drowned, as if somehow, if Kamala Harris was there, this wouldn't have happened. It's disgusting. The Buffalo News should pull it down. They shouldn't have approved it to begin with, but they should pull it down. There's got to be a point where you say, you know, Adam, this is a little bit too far. This is a little bit too far. People are dead. And it's not President Trump's fault that they're dead. And it's not because they voted for President Trump that they're dead. And maybe there should just be, the left is always the first one when there's an act of violence to say, we got to get back to a better place, right? We got to get back to a place where we respect each other's humanity. Well, you know what? Stop telling me that and start doing it. I'm sick and tired of their words and their moral superiority that they feel. Just do it. Yes. Adam Zyglis should not receive death threats on him or his family. No one should think that's a good thing. It's not even worth stop doing that. But the cartoon was wrong. The cartoon was disgusting. The cartoon was vile. And Adam Zyglis is almost secondary. There was an editorial board who approved that cartoon and are standing by it. That's who's really disgusting. And it's been that way at the Buffalo News for far too long. And it's why the paper is dying. And it's why no one cares.
State Senator Rob Ort, as always, thank you so much for joining me this Sunday.
Thanks, Joe.